This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. I'm your host, Bradley Chambers. Frazier is on vacation this week, and so we have a very special guest, Justin McGrath from Kirby. We'll talk to him as the show goes on, but first, before we move on, let's take a moment to introduce our sponsors for this week. The first is Shobee. They're back again this week, and it's an iPad app for paperless classrooms. Shobee makes it easy to assign, collect, and review student work, and to provide rich feedback with annotations, voice notes, and more. The show is also brought to you by Jamp Software, makers of the fine Casper suite for iOS and Mac. And I actually just purchased a new instance today, so I'm excited to get that deployed before school starts. And it's also brought to you by Aerohive Networks, makers of the cloud-managed controllerless Wi-Fi. So more about them as the show goes on. So, Justin, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Bradley. Yourself?
Good. So just to cue our listeners in on a funny story, you know, it's been funny since Frazier and I have done the show. I've talked to more people outside of America and really outside of the southern U.S. than I really ever have. And you become aware of how things that are pronounced a certain way in the southern U.S. are not always pronounced elsewhere. So I always ask people, hey, how is your last name pronounced? And I assumed it was McGrath, but it's McGrath. And so as we were doing the intro originally, I had in my head Jeremy McGrath, which was an old BMX racer from when I was a kid. So I don't know why that's funny, but I thought it was funny.
Well, I can't help you with much BMX input, but I'll certainly give you a hand with the parental control stuff later on.
Well, whatever Wikipedia would tell you. So, well, I'm thrilled you're on the show, and we'll obviously spend a lot of time talking about Kirby, because Kirby is one of those products that when I saw it and when Frazier, you know, you'd emailed Frazier and Frazier forwarded it to me, for me it was like, you know, angels singing in the background, because it was exactly what I've been wanting for iOS for so long. So I've been telling it to our parents at our school. The only reason I haven't been doing it more because I want like an affiliate link I can send to them to get a referral link or something, but that's a story for another day. But I've been heavily promoting it to our parents because it's so fantastic. But again, we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. So, you know, outside of Kirby, give us a little background about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So, I guess my main job is as this product director at our company. So our company is called Systemic. And we do a bunch of stuff around software development as well as software consulting. So we've got about 25 guys in our company. And some of them work out on client sites doing software development work, mainly Java sort of enterprise level stuff. But also we do a bunch of different product lines out of Systemic. And up until Kirby, our biggest thing has been ShedWorks, which you may have seen on the App Store. So we sell stuff on the Mac App Store, and we've actually got the number one selling free and paid video converter on there. We've also got a DVD burner and a music converter, so they sort of all go together. And going back a bit further, the first thing we did as a product that really took off was a thing, strangely enough, for AVCHD video cameras. So I don't know if you're into the video side too much, Bradley, but back in about 2007, when these new consumer HD video cameras came out, Apple didn't support them. So Apple had, you know, the best video editing stuff, but they didn't support these formats. So we got something going there, started selling it, and it took off like a rocket. So that was called Voltaic HD back in the day, and we've just discontinued it, but it ran for about 7 years, and that was our first success of consumer software, if you like. So we went on to Smart Converter, and that's now sort of, you know, top ranking on the Mac App Store and is a really big winner for us.
You know, it's funny. I had no idea that was you guys, because for part of my day job is one of the things I have to do every week is convert a video to audio for a podcast. And I'm always like tinkering with ways to do it faster. And so I've pretty much tried every converting software in the App Store, and I did not realize that you were associated with that, with those apps. I'm looking at your store page right here, and half of your apps say install on them. So, yeah,
that's, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll link to some of those in the show notes as well. Well, that's great. So now, how long have you been with your company?
About 13 years now. So we started it about 13 years ago, and all of us 25 software engineers, we pretty much all worked for a defence software company in Australia, and we did defence systems, sort of high-end command and control, those kind of things. And then, you know, as people move on, people were leaving the company to go and do their own thing, do contracting out and around Perth. And CFO from the company decided to start a new company, and we all started coming in under Systemic as we left the defence company of the day. So we were working on the biggest software projects in Australia at the time, and then we all sort of jumped out one by one and joined up with our new little company, which then went on to do things. So a lot of us do the contracting work through Systemic, but the key thing we do is the product development. And so we've got a full-time team doing the product side of things, running ShedWorks, but as well now Kirby's the next big thing for us and has been for about a year and a half now.
So that's interesting. So that was one of the questions I was going to ask is how long, you know, had you guys been working on this? So if you've been working on it for a year and a half, you were really working on it before iOS 7 was even released or even announced.
Oh, absolutely. We first did the most simple prototype of Kirby almost 2 years ago now. So it was about October, November 2012 when we first fired it up. Then we got a bit more serious and just using the limitations of iOS 6, we still had something that worked. But iOS 7 was good timing for us. It let us really do everything that we wanted to do. So that was a huge win for us. We had something working already. It was looking pretty good. And then iOS 7 really let us do everything that we wanted to do around content filtering.
Well, before we kind of move in, heavily talking to Kirby, some of the news from this week, if you haven't, we're actually recording the show, depending on what time zone you're in, either really late on the 30th of June or really early on, July 1st. I guess tomorrow is July 1st. So iTunes U 2.0 was announced today, and if you didn't listen to the show last week that had Fraser and Andrew Jewell on it, Fraser kind of had an exclusive discussion with Apple. I don't guess what I want to say exclusive, but he talked to Apple ahead of time about it, and so we were excited to kind of get to hear about that before the press release went out. So if you didn't listen to last week's show, definitely go and listen to that at outofschool.net. We are closing in on episode 100. This episode is episode 93, so we are about seven episodes away from episode 100. So we're really excited about that. I want to thank all our sponsors we've had over the past 2 years. Also thankful for all of our listeners who tweet, post on Facebook, and email their friends and coworkers about the show. We definitely appreciate that. Again, we always appreciate reviews on iTunes. So before we move on, really want to talk heavily about Kirby. I want to thank our first sponsor of the night. It's fine folks at Aerohive Networks. Aerohive unleashes the power of enterprise mobility. Aerohive's technology enables organizations of all sizes to use mobility to increase productivity, engage customers, and grow their businesses. It's deployed in over 13,000 enterprises worldwide. Two of those are Fraser and myself. Aerohive's proprietary mobility platform takes advantage of the cloud and a distributed architecture to deliver unified, intelligent, and simplified cost-effective networks. I've been an Aerohive customer for about 2.5 years now. It's actually, to me, it makes the most sense on how you deploy Wi-Fi. It's controllerless, so there's no controller to deal with, no single point of failure, but you do get centralized management. So you can either run that on-site through an appliance or a VMware server, or they have a hosted environment as well. The cool thing about it is if the management system goes down, your APs still work fine. Core functionality is handled directly on the access point. They have a great community portal. It's called Hive Nation. It's at community.aerohive.com. So if you have any questions about the products, you can go there and talk with other customers and with Aerohive employees as well. So again, we want to thank the fine folks at Aerohive Networks for sponsoring the show this week. You can find a link to their website on our show notes at outofschool.net. So, and that was, talking about Kirby getting started. I was under the impression it was like not a small, when I say small shop, I was thinking it was like a 1 to 2 man team. I didn't realize that you guys kind of had a whole team behind that, of 25 employees. So that's very interesting to know.
That's right. So we've got a bunch of guys there, and I guess at the peak of Kirby development, we had 10 people on it. And, now we've got 4 or 5 on it at the moment. But we're quite lucky in that when we gear up, we can just pull people in who we've known for a long time. and we know are good at what they do. And some of the hardest things with doing these technology projects is finding those people that can actually get involved and be productive. So we've got a it's a bit of a luxury for us, really, to be able to pull in people just as we need them.
Well, yeah, you get, if you've got multiple product lines going at a time, as you know, one ramps up, you know, another one might slow down. You can just kind of reallocate labor as you need, and you're not, you know, basically having to hire, you know, 20 guys to work on one product, and if it goes belly up, that, you know, you're way overstaffed.
Oh, absolutely. So that's exactly what we do. You know, we're either focusing on the shed work stuff, which we did, you know, early last year to get them all ready because we knew we'd leave them alone for quite a while, and then push through, you know, 100% on Kirby for that following 12 months. And just in the last month, we've been doing a bit of housekeeping and updates on all the ShedWorks product line because they're still our big money earners. Got to keep them going. But Kirby certainly, you know, our exciting new thing.
Well, you know, pretend, you know, I blogged about Kirby when I first read about it, but pretend if you've got a listener out there that's never heard of Kirby, give us the elevator pitch. You know, what is Kirby and who's it for?
Okay, Kirby is a parental control system for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. It's as simple as that. And, you know, there have been other parental control systems before, but really this is the first one that does everything that you would want it to do. And really, from a parent's point of view, there are some things that it doesn't do just because you can't do those kinds of things on an Apple device. But really, for the first time, you've got content filtering that runs across the entire device. And that's something that was only technically possible with iOS 7. And then on top of that, you've got all the management features which a school MDM system would have. You know, things like accessing the restrictions, you know, turning off the camera, turning off Safari if that's what you want to do, as well as being able to see a list of all the apps on the device. So, you know, at the very simple level, it's parental controls for the iDevices, but it's parental controls that are actually useful. It's not just a technical sort of gimmick solution. It's something that people can use, and it can be really effective for a problem that a lot of parents face, you know, including ourselves. So those of us on the Kirby team either were experiencing the kind of problem that we were trying to solve or had experienced it in the past. So yeah, that's the elevator pitch for Kirby.
Well, you know, when parents would ask me this question, how do I protect my kids' devices at home? Before Kirby, I really didn't have a good answer. I mean, your options are to say, well, when they're on your home Wi-Fi, you can, you know, use something like OpenDNS Family Shield, which works fine when, you know, when they're at home. If they don't know how to manually change the DNS servers on their device, again, that works fine. But again, as soon as they go off network, they go somewhere else. If they have a cellular-enabled device, that basically is null and void. And so you've got to, it's no longer about, you know, kind of protecting your home internet. It's about protecting the device. But prior to Kirby, I mean, what do I tell people? Well, they have alternative browsers you can use that are filtered, but they're terrible and they're slow because they can't run as fast because of the Java Nitro engine was only available to Safari until iOS 8. But then you really start to look at iOS. How many apps do you have that have built-in web browsers that then would not be filtered? And
yeah, absolutely, Bradley. The problems that we were trying to solve were exactly that. You know, you can put in one of these filtered browsers, and you know, on their own, they don't work too bad. But then, you know, the kids go to the Facebook app, the Instagram app, and they're not covered. I had my son bring home an iPad in 2011 from school. So his school was doing a one-to-one iPad program, and we did the OpenDNS thing, just like you mentioned. But it takes about 10 seconds for someone to Google bypass OpenDNS on the internet and go in and change their DNS settings on the device, and they're done. And you don't even know that they're not on it, and that's half the trouble as well. So, yeah, all those things, you know, we'd tried it all, and there just wasn't anything out there, which is why we really jumped into Kirby, because if there'd been something decent out there, we wouldn't have done it. But the fact was there was really nothing. And for something as big as iPads and iPhones, you know, it's got to be something worth doing.
Oh, I agree. And that's when, you know, when I kind of, I read about what you were doing, and then I tested it on my iPhone, and the onboarding experience was so perfect. It was so incredibly easy. Of course, I imagine that's got to be something you guys really sweat the details over, because you want it to be something that you don't have to be an IT nerd to figure out Kirby. It's just like regular people are installing this. And so how did that process go? Like, how much did you sweat those details on getting a device connected to Kirby?
Yeah, that's a huge deal for us right now, mainly because people, you know, they hear about apps and they think, I'm just going to install that on my phone and everything will be fine. Now, you, having knowledge of MDM systems and one-to-one iPad deployments, might have a little bit more insight into how this works than your regular person. So we really have had to sweat the details on that. So, you know, the first bit is, the first message we've always had to get to the parents is that this isn't just something you stick on your iPhone and then it's all good, you know. You pull that app down, you create that account, but then you've got to go and do something on your child's account. And, you know, the confusion we get is people pull down the iPhone app and then they enroll their own phone in Kirby and they don't like the filtering that it's doing. And they get kind of mixed up between where the app needs to go, or they put the app on the kid's device and don't enroll it, all those sort of things. So, you know, we're still working on the message, and really we've done a lot of videos as well to try and make it really easy, you know, 60, 90 second videos to say, here's how it works. You know, it's a two-stage thing. So really it's one of our biggest challenges moving forward to get that message out that Kirby isn't just like every other app that you've put on your iPhone. It's something where you run it on your iPhone, but really it's a remote control into a bigger system that's running in that back end that's looking after all those devices that you might end up enrolling. So yeah, it's a huge deal. It's something we've been through and we'll just continue to refine as we keep going on and try and improve, you know, our conversion rate basically from signups to enrollments.
Well, you know, I as soon as I heard about Kirby, I was telling my headmaster about it, and he ended, you know, once you guys kind of went live, he did the trial, and he went through 14 days, and then he signed up, and I never once helped him get going. I just said follow the instructions, and in some ways, I wanted to test that, to see how easy it was for kind of someone. Now, he's a technical guy. He understands, like, you know, how to hard reboot his phone, but he doesn't, like, you know, understand MDMs and security profiles on iOS. He just doesn't get that, and that's fine. He shouldn't have to. And he got his daughter's phone, both his son's phones, and one of his son's iPad enrolled. And he ran into a problem on the last iPad, and he sent me a screenshot. He said, I'm getting an error message when I go to install the profile. What's going on? And I'm sure you guys have gotten this question. He sent me a screenshot. He was using Chrome. And
yep.
Chrome cannot install security profiles. And I said, well, you just need to use Safari. Well, the problem was is he had somehow disabled Safari and restrictions and didn't know his passcode.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would have been a bit tricky then, so I guess I don't even know how to recover a passcode if you haven't got it. Once you've put it on restrictions, I guess you've got to kind of reformat the phone or something.
Yeah,
that's quite a difficult one.
Yeah, as long as you can turn off Find My iPhone, you can put the phone into DFU mode, which is like the firmware restore, and then you basically just got to restore it and, you know, set it up from scratch. It's doable, but it's annoying. You know, it is what it is, but yeah, that's the only issue he ran into. And so he kept it, and, you know, he didn't really tell his kids what he was doing. He waited till they noticed the VPN icon to ask him about it, but, he loves it. I mean, he loves the ability to see, you know, kind of what's going on. He sent me one of the reports he got, and we'll talk more about those reports, but he said, hey, what's the difference between Instagram and Instagram CDN? And I explained to him kind of what a content delivery network was. And I said, you know, the Instagram CDN is probably the actual images loading in the app, where like Instagram is probably just the app itself.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that's a constant thing that we're working on as well with the usage, you know, all that traffic going off the phone. Like Facebook might have half a dozen different actual domains that it's going to, all subdomains of Facebook, to do its thing, images, video, the actual core app itself. So we roll them up just so that we say Facebook for that, but it's an ongoing piece of work for us to roll up all the bits and pieces that make up Instagram so that we can just put up Instagram on the usage, whereas off the phone we're seeing them going to, as you said, cdn.instagram and app.instagram and all those other kind of things that make these really advanced applications work.
Yeah, and that's where the filtering is actually really important to not just, you know, that's where if you're just doing URL based filtering, it can be very difficult because you don't, you know, if you're trying to block YouTube, well, are you blocking the short YouTube URL? Because that one, you know, a lot of times they're using that one. And that's where it's like, you know, having to kind of understand that these apps are more than just about simple URLs.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot going on. And like you said, they can be different domains, subdomains, all that kind of thing, which is why we've tried to keep it fairly simple with the filtering in that we just do the category-based stuff. Mm-hmm. So we get that from providers of the, you know, categorization domain. So there's commercial services that do this stuff and they supply McAfee and Semantic and all of them. So we're using the same style of service to get regular updates on, you know, all the different video sites and social media category sites and all that kind of thing. But yeah, it's an ongoing process keeping all that stuff up to date. But the good thing is it's been happening on our servers, so it's not something people have to worry about or even know about.
Yeah, it's not like
just keeps updating.
Yeah, you don't have to push out an app update to do that. Before we move on, let's thank our next sponsor for the night. That's the fine folks at Jamf Software. Jamf's been with us for a large part of the year and even part of last year, so we really appreciate them supporting Out of School. They're just great folks, and they want to support the show because they love the community. And Jamf provides IT staff with enterprise tools that power widespread use of Apple technologies, such as Macs, iPads, iPhone, and Apple TVs in education organizations. Now with Casper Focus, they have placed these great technologies directly into the hands of teachers who work with students every day. So Casper Focus is an app for the iPad that allows teachers to quickly gain student attention, conduct secure exams within an app, select a specific Apple TV, they can choose and distribute iBooks, and they can even initiate AirPlay right from within the app. If you want to learn more about Casper Focus and Jamf Software, go to outofschool.net, or you can click the link in the show notes, and that'll take you to their website, but that's a special URL. It lets them know that you heard about them from our show, so that definitely we definitely appreciate that. So, yeah, as I mentioned, I just actually signed the contract today to enroll our school in the Casper Suite, so I'm looking forward to that, getting all my information set up. I'm going with the hosted service because it really just wasn't that much per year, considering I didn't have to worry about backing up another machine and managing another server. So went with that. That you can do an on-site or that they can host it for you as well. So again, check out Jamf Software. Go to outofschool.net and click the Jamf Software link. So thanks to Jamf for sponsoring the show this week. You know, from a technical, you know, from a technical end, how does Kirby work? You know, I mentioned the VPN profile, but how exactly does this work? You know, when you install the certificate, what is that doing?
Okay, so it's really got two things that make it work. So Kirby has, first of all, the MDM side of things, which we use the same MDM kind of stuff that things like Casper and others use, and then we use the VPN. So to get those two things running on the phone, what happens is people will see that when they enroll a phone, the first thing that they get asked to do is install this certificate authority, and that's really just a certificate that makes the VPN work. That's really all it is. The next thing they do is install the Kirby configuration profile, and what that does is actually enroll their phone or iPad or iPod Touch in with our MDM system so that we now know who they are, and that's how we link that device to their account. What happens from there is our system then pushes out a VPN profile, which if people ever go and look at the profile section on their phone or iPad after they've enrolled, they'll see a Kirby VPN in there. And a third thing gets installed as well if they're using it. If they go and set any restrictions like disable the camera, disable Safari or whatever, they'll see a Kirby restrictions profile in there as well. But really the Kirby configuration one's the main one, and that's their phone's MDM enrollment. So once they've gone through the enrollment, their phone or iPad is known to Kirby, so we've got some control over it, some remote control. And also it's put that VPN on, which means all the traffic off the phone, all the internet traffic is now going through us before it goes to the internet. So from that point on, everything is going through the Kirby servers, and the Kirby servers are the ones that are implementing the rules that people set up for their devices. So sometimes that's a permanent blocking of categories, so adult and damaging content is always blocked. That's not something a parent has to remember to turn on, and it's not something they can turn off either. They can then block other categories, you know, video, social media, all that kind of thing as permanently blocked categories. But really the power of Kirby is in the rules, so that you can do something like set a bedtime rule, and that might cut in at 8:30 and just cut all internet traffic. But one of the more popular ones is the idea of a study time rule, especially as kids get into that high school age, obviously on the one-to-one iPad kind of schools. They need their iPad for the homework. But, you know, who's to say they're actually doing the homework and not on Instagram or YouTube or whatever. So one of the really popular rules is setting study time. So you can just say study time is 5 p.m. till 8 p.m., maybe Monday to Thursday. And during that time, I want to block social media off that device. I want to block video and maybe some other categories as well, so that then you can at least be confident in the knowledge that some of those distractions are not there. But also then they can use Facebook after 8 o'clock or whatever it is that you've decided as a parent to let them do. So I guess that's one of the underlying mantras behind Kirby is we're not saying, you know, block off the devices all the time, you know, let them use them when it's right, but also have some rules so that they don't use them when they shouldn't be using them. So yeah, I guess that's the key, you know, there's two key technologies in play there. VPN doing all the content filtering and all the rule enforcement. And then the MDM side gives us the extra features like the restriction management. So I can turn off the camera, turn off in-app purchases, which is a big one, turn off app downloads. And then the MDM also lets us see all the applications that are installed. And that's quite a handy one as well. So you can see what your kids are installing and keep an eye out for those apps that are a little bit questionable as well.
You know, you mentioned that once this is installed, all the traffic's being tunneled over a VPN. You know, let's say, for example, you know, this kid's got an iPad and loves to watch Netflix. I mean, how much traffic are you guys having to process then? Or do you have a way to kind of route that, like, say, Netflix or YouTube traffic, you know, outside of your VPN so you guys aren't having to process all that traffic?
No, we still have to process it all because at the end of the day, that YouTube traffic in real time has to go through us so that we can enforce the rules. So you can imagine someone's watching YouTube and the cutoff's 8 o'clock. We want it to cut off as soon as possible after 8 o'clock, you know, allowing for buffering and those kind of things that happen. So yeah, at the moment it all goes through, and those big usages, you know, my son, my 10-year-old son watches some cartoons on his iPod Touch and he airplays that to the TV in the living room. And that's putting through reasonably high resolution TV through his iPod, through Kirby onto the TV. So yeah, that soaks up the bandwidth. But, you know, kids' use is sporadic. You know, they don't sit on there watching movies all day because they're at school or they're doing homework and those kind of things. So yeah, all the traffic goes through us. So we really, now that we've got a bunch of users on, we're really trying to figure out how much they really use and how much we need to allow for and how much that data costs us, which is also a dropping cost for us as time goes by.
Well, and I guess that's where you, as you kind of evaluate your long-term pricing, you say, okay, we're estimating that users are using X amount of data, you know, on average, and this is our cost on it. And this is kind of, this is our profit essentially. I guess that's like, you're trying to figure out what's the balance there. Cause especially, you know, you don't want a situation where you're having to tell a parent, well, if you do Kirby, you can't use Netflix. They can't use YouTube. You know, you want it to be, you know, seamless experience.
Absolutely. We want everyone to use it just as they would have used their devices beforehand. So for us, yeah, it's all about the numbers, trying to figure it out. In fact, when we set our pricing back in November for the sort of go live, the $50 a year kind of thing, that was actually a loss-making number based on our projections of how much the data was going to cost, what we projected the devices to burn on average per month. But even since November last year, our data costs have dropped about 30% based on competition and Google pricing and, you know, the improvements in the internet and all that kind of thing. So it's interesting that we've gone from actually being projected to be in the red when we started to being just, you know, breaking even now.
And as you guys gain more and more users, your costs will continue to drop. I guess that's where you'll make your revenue, you make your profit.
Absolutely. The bulk traffic, you know, the cost per gigabyte just keeps going down, and we bundle all that up onto our big servers that are running around the place. And yeah, that cost per gigabyte goes down, 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 and hopefully we can just keep it at $50 per year for our family account, which covers up to five devices. So we have to keep a close eye on that. But, you know, that's looking good. It looks like we'll be able to maintain that $50 a year, which really, you know, it's super cheap considering how much data goes through and all that kind of stuff. We looked at some of the Android-based solutions, which have been around a little while and do similar kinds of things. Those things are $50 per device per year. So, you know, we're about a fifth or less of the cost of what might have been the contemporary approaches to doing this when we went live with it.
Well, yeah, and I think you guys kind of have two things really going for you. A, I think $50 as a family plan is a sweet spot in terms of pricing, because it's not that that's throwaway money, but it's less than the cost of taking your family out to dinner for the whole year.
Yeah, we really looked at making it, you know, as close to free as possible, you know, and especially once you get into iPhones, you know, a kid can't own an iPhone for less than $1,000 a year, you know, and that's, you know, maybe it's a little bit less in the US, but it's that $500 to $1,000 a year. If you want to buy a new iPhone, the cheapest one you can get and get it on a data plan, that's the kind of price you're looking for. And, you know, any school iPad's going to be $500, that kind of price. So, you know, that family account of five devices can be covering really thousands of dollars worth of mobile devices. So, you know, thousands of dollars and $50 a year for a bit of protection, it's not even in that ballpark. You know, it's a different amount of money. It's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's just, you know, well under 100.
One of the things that, you know, you mentioned is that, like, adult content is just automatic. These rules, once you set them up, they're on a schedule, they're automatic. And it's not something that the parents have to fiddle with night after night. Remember, I got to turn this schedule off. I have to do, you know, hey, Dad, turn off my, can I have social networking back on? You know, you create these rules and it just goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big part of how we put it all together. You know, we had our design sessions and figured it all out, and then, you know, making it easy to put the rules on, all that kind of thing. And one night my wife said, oh, that's a great app and I hope I never use it. I said, oh, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, we'll set up the rules and then I never want to see it again. And that's actually how we approach all this stuff. As a parent, maybe set up a couple of rules. You might change them once a year or once every 6 months or whatever, but in general, you know, you don't want to be dealing with all that stuff. A couple of rules and you're done. And that's our approach with all this stuff. You know, parents have got enough distractions and are as busy enough, as you know, without fiddling around with rules, extending a bit here, tweaking this, tweaking that. You know, we just need to make it as simple as possible, something that is quite complex, but keep it as simple as possible.
Right, because if it's something they've got to fiddle with, they're just going to end up turning it off, and that's what you don't want to happen. Speaking of that, what happens, you know, if, let's say a kid has the restrictions, passcode on their device, what happens if the kid uninstalls the profile?
Yeah, so in our standard mode, when it's enrolled in our MDM system, then yes, you know, any kid can go into the profiles. All they need is the passcode for the device, not even the restrictions passcode. And they can go in there and just delete the Kirby configuration profile. That'll remove the VPN and drop that device out of Kirby. All we can do in that case is we know immediately when that happens. So the phone sends us a message basically saying, hey, I've just jumped off your MDM system. And we send that email straight to the parent. So at least the parent knows it's happened. And I guess that's the difference with things like OpenDNS. Yes. You know, you can set up OpenDNS at home. But if your kid happens to have figured out how to change their DNS settings, you'll never know. And, you know, you've got to be looking over their shoulder. Oh, you know, do they seem to be getting to places they should be getting to? Or you've got to get their device, you know, run a couple of tests or check it out yourself. So, yes, you know, a child can get past it, but we can tell the parent straight away. And we do the follow-up emails as well saying, hey, this device is still offline. You know, maybe get it back online or just delete it from your account if you, you know, don't want it on anymore. So that's as much as we can do. But also we worked with a bunch of child psychologists while we were building Kirby, and we went very much down the path of make this thing an opt-in. You know, it's not a punishment system. It's a boundary enforcement kind of system where the parents and the child can set some boundaries and some rules, and then the parent puts them in place and the child really has to live within those boundaries, which are, you know, no different to, you know, get home by 9:30 if they're an older teenager or whatever other rules you've got around, you know, how your family works. So it's actually quite a nice thing that the kids can get out of it in one way, in that when they're on it, they really have to agree to be on it. So from a child parenting psychology kind of point of view, our psychologist said that's a lot better place to be in than making this thing a lockdown, you can never get out of it kind of system. It's something that the kids have to agree to be on board with, which generally makes for a better home environment anyway. So, yeah, there's a bit of psychology behind it. Would we lock it down if we could? Probably. But, you know, it's not the end of the world that it's not either. You know, there are actually some positives in the sort of the family context around having the kids having to opt in to be on board with Kirby.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, when I unenrolled my device and my testing, I got an email right away. You know, and if I'm a parent and I get that email, you know, let's say they're at school, as soon as they get home, we have a discussion about what happened. And, you know, if it's an accident or something, you kind of give them that grace, you know, one or two times. And then you say, okay, look, you know, you're continually unenrolling from Kirby. You know, let's have a discussion about that and figure out what's going on. And you don't make it like prison. You make it, again, like it's like the, if I could go to the bowling alley and they have the bumpers on the side, you know, Kirby is the bumpers of you know, you're just trying to help kids make proper decisions, and not even just about adult content, but it's like, hey, it's study time. I know it's tempting to just check Facebook or just check Instagram one more time, but it's study time, and all that stuff can wait.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, with Kirby, our ultimate goal for Kirby is that you stop using it. You know, the kids get to whatever, 17, 18, and, you know, go off and become adults, and then they're off Kirby. So, yeah, it's about putting those boundaries. And, you know, Kirby is all, you know, the name came from curbing access. And it's about putting those boundaries in place, but then ultimately removing them, you know. So the younger kids, you'll have more rules on them. And as they get older, those rules can be relaxed. And it's been funny, even with our testing, you know, some of the guys, they've got older teenage daughters who are in the higher end of high school, and they've been testing with us and been on board with Kirby, just sort of helping us out. And then we've taken it off and we've said, okay, we're out of beta testing. You know, we're now full steam ahead. And a couple of them have come back and said, I think I want to have Kirby back on my phone, because they keep, as you said, checking Facebook when they're supposed to be studying, checking Instagram that extra time and all that kind of thing. So that's been really interesting to see some of the older teenagers actually opt back in of their own choice back into something like Kirby.
Well, and, you know, it kind of eliminates that question of, hey, I'm going to go read in my bed. You know, as I go to sleep, I'm going to use the Kindle app. It's like, okay, well, I have no problems with that, because I know that that's, you know, we're going to kind of turn off your internet access. We just want you to be able to read.
Absolutely. With the iPads, you know, with the Kindle app, you know, I've got that exact scenario happening here. And, you know that if the device is enrolled okay, you can check that anytime. And, you know you'll get an email if they bypass it. And, you know that, yeah, pretty much all they can do on that device is read their book. You know, they might be able to play Angry Birds or something like that, but they're certainly not on Facebook talking to their mates or on Instagram or whatever.
Before we move on, let's take a moment and thank our last sponsor of the night. It's the fine folks at Shobi. Shobi is an iPad app for paperless classrooms. With Shobi, teachers can quickly and easily assign, collect, and review student work on their iPads, and then provide rich feedback to students by adding annotation, text notes, and voice notes directly on the documents. Students can show their learning creatively by submitting to Shobi from thousands of compatible iPad apps, or by completing assignments within Shobi's built-in tools. Shobi keeps everyone organized with individual student assignment folders, email, and push notifications. Now, Shobi Basic is 100% free, and teachers can try it out with their students with just a few minutes. You can get started by downloading Shobi on the App Store. If you check the show notes at outofschool.net or in your podcast app, there's a link to download that, and that's a special link, and it lets them know that you downloaded the free version from our show. Shobi is also offering a special deal for school administrators listening to this podcast. If you buy Shobi Pro for 5 of your teachers, they will give you an extra 5 teachers to Shobi Pro for free. So that's a total of 10 teachers, all their students, on Shobi Pro for 4 years for the price of 5. So visit shobi.com/out of school for details. And again, we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. So thanks to the fine folks at Shobi for sponsoring the show this week. As we move on, how do you guys, let's say you're a one-to-one school and they have an MDM and they have a content filter on site. How do you guys, how do you guys work with that? You know, if they've got a school-owned iPad but parents want to use Kirby at home, what's that process like?
Yeah, that's a good question. We started working with a couple of one-to-one schools near our head office here in Perth, and they gave us the challenge of, okay, we've got this iPad program running. We want something that can protect the iPads at home, doesn't interfere with our MDM system, doesn't do any content filtering when they're at school, requires no setup by us, no cost to the school, and the parents cover it all. So they gave us this wish list. And that was a bit of a challenge. So we went away and tried to figure out a way to make Kirby work with them. And so what we've got is this Kirby school mode. And really, Kirby in school mode is about making Kirby work, but without the MDM enrollment. So all these schools that we've dealt with so far run their own MDM systems, and a lot of them run Casper, and a lot of them run Meraki as well. Now, for those ones, we had to figure out a way of how do we enroll an iPad with Kirby when we can't do the MDM process. So instead of doing MDM, what we'd use is a little app, and it's called Kirby for Schools. And really, it's just a slightly different enrollment process as far as the parents are concerned. When they're in school mode, they get the Kirby for Schools app, they stick it on the kid's iPad, and then they just follow the prompts. So they log on and it enrolls. So really what happens is they're on the VPN, just like a normal Kirby phone. But the thing we don't have is the MDM stuff. So what that means is we don't have the ability to show them all the applications that are installed on that device. And we also can't do that restriction management around, you know, turning off Safari, turning off the camera. But apart from that, all the rules work, all the content filtering works. But really the big plus is that when they enroll a school iPad in Kirby for Schools, they choose the school that they go to. What that does is let us put in some settings on their VPN so that when that iPad goes to school, the Kirby VPN knows to switch off. And the schools love that because the schools want to control the filtering when the iPad's at school. But of course, when that iPad leaves school, the Kirby VPN kicks in. And, you know, we've had a bunch of schools on now. We've got, you know, schools, we're almost enrolling them every day in the Perth area. And they're pushing it out to the parents so that the schools get those iPads, they enroll them in the school MDM, but then the parent can go and enroll the iPad in Kirby for Schools and get all the rule management, all the content filtering, the usage reports, all that stuff for that school iPad. So, yeah, it was quite a development journey to get it all working and get this second mode working. But, you know, we've got lots of schools on now. We've got a lot of parents running a lot of school iPads through Kirby for Schools, and it's, you know, it's been really effective. So, yeah, we got there eventually, but it certainly took a fair bit of work, and we were, you know, helped out a great deal by the schools that we were talking to early on. So they were fantastic.
Yeah, because if the VPN was on at school, if the school checks their content logs, they're just going to see, you know, 100 gigabytes of VPN traffic, and they're not going to have any idea what students are doing, you know, day in and day out. And so if they're trying to, say, for whatever reason, lock down social networking at school, and the Kirby profile their own, if the parents haven't locked down social networking during that time, the school would have no idea what they were doing and could not, you know, stop any of it because it's VPN traffic.
Yeah, that's right. They'd just see the VPN going out and that would be it. But interestingly, of all the schools that we've dealt with here, they all use a very similar content filtering box. And the default settings for that box are to disable outbound VPN connections so that for all the schools that we've been running, the VPN will start, but it won't connect. So the result there has been that the kids who've shown up at school running Kirby, the iPads just won't connect to the internet. You know, they'll connect to the Wi-Fi. The Kirby VPN tries to connect and it just doesn't get out. So, yeah, we had a bit of consternation from some parents when, you know, these iPads that they had running Kirby showed up at school and stopped working, but we got them sorted out pretty quickly.
You know, in if you want to plead the Fifth Amendment on this, it's a U.S.-centric term, but does iOS 8 change anything for Kirby?
Yeah, well, by looking at some publicly accessible websites who've written about these things, of course, it looks like iOS 8 is going to have a new VPN client. So, you know, one of our biggest technical challenges in some cases is getting the VPN to connect back to Kirby off the device. That's probably the biggest technical issue once people are up and running. And that often happens when people have a bit of a flaky Wi-Fi set up at home. So the Wi-Fi is not perfect, but, you know, the devices have been struggling through up until now. But a VPN needs a good quality Wi-Fi and internet connection to get through. And Up until now, up until iOS 8, on the Apple devices, they've been using a really old VPN client. So it's about 4 years old. I think it came in with about iOS 4 or 5, and they haven't changed it. So in iOS 8, we've read on publicly accessible websites that the VPN client is going to a new style of client, which is optimized for mobile and, you know, and more flaky internet connections and all that kind of thing. So the signs are good. The signs are good that we're going to get a better VPN out of iOS 8, and that'll be the biggest thing that we get out of it. You know, more generally, you know, iOS 8 looks, you know, really exciting in terms of things like extensions and all those things, which you guys have covered extensively on the podcast. But there's a little thing behind the scenes, which is a real plus for us, which will, you know, we think make the VPN connection a lot more stable for people that have, you know, home Wi-Fi network setups or even internet connections that aren't 100%. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. And, yeah, hopefully that'll be something that makes Kirby that little bit better as well.
You know, when you talk about having the VPN traffic, do you guys host your own data centers? Are you using those elsewhere? Are they around the world? Or how is that set up? Or can you even share that?
No, absolutely. That's a really good question. And we've got a couple of schools in the US who we're testing before summer break, and we're hopeful that they'll go through with the implementation once everyone comes back. That was the first question they both asked, because, you know, we're Australian, obviously, and they said, so does this mean all the traffic's going to go back to Australia, then out to the internet? And the answer's no. So we've already got three regions set up. And, you know, we use hosted servers, Amazon or Google or whatever, and we run our own VPNs, VPN server. So that VPN off that phone is connecting to a VPN system that we're running, which then uses proxies and firewalls and all sorts of stuff to make the magic happen. But at the end of the day, when you sign up for an account, we detect your location and we set you up against the closest data center, if you like. So at the moment, that's Australia, US and Europe. And, you know, we'll be splitting that. So we have US, East and West and those kind of things. So, yeah, all the traffic off your device goes to one of our servers through that VPN connection, and then it goes out over the internet. And the more nodes we set up, then the better it is for people. You know, the closer they can be to that point that they connect to. So, yeah, you know, it's all region-based. We've got three regions running at the moment, and we'll just continue to either add regions or break up the regions into smaller areas so that people continue to get the throughput that they'd expect. And I guess, you know, that sort of goes to the next question of, you know, does it slow down your phone at all? We've done a lot of tests, and the answer so far is no, because what happens is we run a proxy server, and the fact is that a lot of the content you're hitting, someone else might have hit already if they're non-SSL kind of traffic. And it means that those kind of pages that you might be looking at will actually come down faster to your phone or iPad than if you weren't on Kirby. So there's a little bit of an overhead for the VPN, but then you often get it back with the proxy caching that we're doing. So the net result is, really, you shouldn't notice any difference in performance once that device is running on Kirby.
Well, yeah, that absolutely going to be my next question. You know, if someone wants to sign up for Kirby, you know, let's say if it's a school administrator and they're thinking, we want to start promoting this to our parents, what's the best way to start talking about, you know, kind of an overall implementation plan?
Yeah, what we've done is based on all this work we did with our two really close schools. So we had two schools working in different ways. One's a BYOD approach, where the parents buy the iPads, parents own them, and the kids just enroll them at school. And the other one's the other end of the extreme, where the school buys all the iPads. They're all in supervisor mode. They're, you know, strongly managed. So we looked at both of those scenarios to make sure they both worked. But we've put up a schools page on the website now. So they just go there. We've got an extensive, you know, 6-page description of how it all works. So for those school IT people, they can look at it, really understand it. And then from their point of view, all they've got to do is get in touch with us, give us a couple of very simple technical details so that Kirby can become aware of their school, and they're done. So, you know, yesterday I set one school up myself in 5 minutes when the guy called up and said, you know, we've got some kids showing up with iPads with Kirby on them already. What do I do? Gave him a quick rundown, put in the details for the school, which is just the Wi-Fi network name, that the school, that the kids' iPads connect to, and then the school's public-facing IP address. He gave me them, I slotted them in, and we were set up and ready to go. So for us, you know, it's very easy to set up, and for the schools, I guess, you know, they just have to have a look at our content that we've put up to be comfortable for themselves, that we're not going to interfere with anything that they do, which, you know, we've got about 20 schools up and running now, so we're pretty confident that we've seen every type of school from super lockdown, supervisor mode, to even not running an MDM, just kids coming to school with their iPads and using them. So, yeah, all the information's there on our site, and, you know, it's a very simple process for us to set up a school and get them on. And, you know, even to the point of, we've got some material there that they can send to parents to say, hey, we've set up Kirby. Here's where, you know, here's how it works, and here are the simple instructions to get started now. So, yeah, we'll always be improving it, but we've got the basics there ready to go now, we think.
So I guess by having the school's public-facing IP address, that keeps a kid from basically creating the same SSID at home and tricking the system.
Yes, you've got a very devious mind there, Bradley. That's exactly what it's for. So the first thing we did was just put on the Wi-Fi network name. And so, you know, most schools call it, you know, school name, iPad network, or whatever they decide to. But then, of course, if they go and change that, their home Wi-Fi network name to the same as the school, the Kirby VPN will drop off when they're at home. But we do a second check as well, where the VPN drops off, but we periodically check back with that device to see if it's going through the VPN or not. Now, if it's not going through the VPN, we look at the IP address that iPad is coming from, and if it's bypassing the VPN, so the VPN's off, and we see it coming from their nominated school, then that's all good. If we see it coming from a different IP address that we don't know about, then we just flag it as being offline and, you know, send the email to the parent, just like Kirby normal mode, and then we can get things moving there. So, yeah, you know, it's pretty simple, but we've got the bases covered, we think, now.
I agree. That's really the best thing to do there. Final question. You know, assuming you could do anything with Kirby, like you could change anything about iOS, you know, what's the greatest limitation of Kirby, and in what ways would you love to change that?
Yeah, I think there's two key things for us. One is the enrollment process, you know, just educating parents that this is not just an app that they stick on their iPhone or their iPad, that they've got to do other things on that other device. Now, that's not really an iOS limitation. I guess that's just the way it works. So that's something that we're continually working on. But the next thing, the next thing that we would like to see is stopping the kids removing the management profile. That would be the key thing. You know, even if, you know, it'd be a really simple thing from an Apple point of view, if they just made profile removals part of the restriction password, you know, that way a parent could put the restriction passcode on a device, put that profile on, and then that profile's on, you know, until the parent decides to take it off. The parent can take it off anytime because it's just using the restriction passcode on the device, but it would stop the kids taking it off. So, yeah, I guess that would be our, you know, first wish if Apple were going to do something to make Kirby work better. But really, apart from that, it's not the end of the world that they can do it either, you know. As I was saying before, it's got some sort of parenting psychological pluses that they can actually remove it. So it's not the end of the world that they can. But, yeah, I guess if that was, you know, if we had one wish of what we would like to see to make our life a little bit better, then that'd be it.
Well, yeah, they've kind of got the tools in there with the supervised mode, if that could be modified to kind of do a supervised mode inside of restrictions, I guess, would be the way they'd do that.
Yeah, we had a look at the supervised mode when we were developing all this, and, you know, even before the Apple bulk purchasing program came into force in the US, earlier this year, in Australia, even people buying their iPads in bulk as school-owned devices, putting them into supervised mode and putting on a management profile, a kid can still take that management profile off straight away themselves. So, yeah, you know, even in full lockdown mode outside of the US, there's still that hole around management profiles, which, you know, I'm expecting Apple will close those loops eventually. But, you know, it was quite surprising to us that, you know, even in that supervised mode, the kids could still remove the management profiles. So they've really only just started to address that with, you know, the bulk purchasing programs that I know that, you know, you're aware of. But people like Fraser, he can't use them because they don't have that running yet outside of the US.
Yeah, and all, and you in the, with the device enrollment program, that's actually done. I think you can do it after the fact, but you kind of have to. It's a little bit more work, but it's really done when at the time of purchase, when you're actually ordering the iPads from Apple.
Yeah, I think the serial numbers are recorded against your school, and that sort of enables the process, yes. Which you know you can do when you unbox them or later. But until that link's in place, you know those iPads are open. You know, as you probably saw with that massive rollout, they started in California. The iPads were going out in supervised mode with the management profiles on there, and then, you know, it probably took all of an hour for the first kids to start pulling those management profiles off and doing whatever they wanted to do after all.
Yeah, really the only way to make it where the management profile cannot come off is to actually install it through Configurator. And when you're talking about, a 30,000 iPad rollout, hooking them up to a cable is not, you know, it's not really scalable.
It's just not viable. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Justin, I am so thrilled for Kirby to exist. We'll obviously link to Kirby, your website and the app in the show notes as well. I talked it up a lot. I am so thankful it exists. And my son is 4 and my youngest son is, he'll be 1 by the time the show comes out. So I'm not as concerned about that yet, but as they get older, it'll be just a no-brainer for us. I am thankful it exists. I think you guys have a very bright future ahead of you. And, kudos. You guys are killing it.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Bradley. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk about it, especially in the school space, you know, with all the school one-to-one iPad stuff going on. And, I've spoken to a lot of schools over the last 6 months, and I started listening to your deployment podcast, which started in about January, and I am now able to go out there as an iPad one-to-one program expert, never having done it myself, but I know exactly what they're talking about. So that's been huge for me, and I recommend, you know, any school administrator who's either running an iPad program or thinking about it, you know, it'll be the best 15 hours you ever spend to just go through those deployment podcasts. Absolutely.
I need to send you your certificate. You're out of school certified. we'll wrap up here. Thanks to our sponsors this week, Shobi, Jamp Software, and Arrowhive Networks. We appreciate their support of the show. Again, we'll link to everything we talked about in the show notes at outofschool.net or in your podcast app. Even the Apple podcast app now supports links in the show notes, so you can click on it and go right there. We'll be back soon next week with another show. Again, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week.